Blog Talk Radio.
There will be days that just go wrong. Make you wanna holler and shout. Your hands up in the air, wondering what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And you think that things can get much worse in a second. Oh, everything just goes south. Keep on keeping on. Whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down in time. Road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Stand in your way.
They're always saying,
what you cannot do. Don't stop chasing your dreams and working hard to make them come true. Oh. And if it ever gets too tough, just remember. Don't kill you, makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. Take it one day at a time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside. The road ain't alone. Keep on keeping on. Keeping on, whatever don't kill you makes you strong. Don't you worry, it won't be long. Darkness comes before the dawn. I'll give you one better time. With God's grace, you're gonna be fine. You got what it takes down inside.
Keeping on, that's what we do, and that's what we're going to continue to do. Talk about some keep on keeping on. Boy, do we have some great things to discuss. We're going to discuss a little Extortion 17. We're going to discuss a little bit of Barbara Boxer thinking that she wants to start taking guns away from people that are, quote, unstable. Well, I've said for decades that I thought Barbara Boxer was unstable, so let's take hers away first. No, she probably doesn't even know how to own one. She probably doesn't even know how to hold one. But we're going to have some great discussion. And on top of that, folks, this is the night of the California primary, and it is also the night of the Alabama primary. We're going to be watching to see what happens with Tom Vignell, who we've had on this show. We are going to be watching, and I'm going to tell you, folks, you might get some tears out of me tonight. A candidate that I've really grown to love, and appreciate and respect highly. Dave Souza, he's running for supervisor there in El Dorado County, California. Of course, a smaller, local, very local race. I'm a firm believer that a lot of times these local races are as important, if not more, than some of the big ones on a major, major scale. We're looking forward. I really have a good feeling about this, folks. Dave is at the top of the list. He's basically running against seven other people, and he's kind of neck and neck with one other guy. So it looks like, I believe, and let me tell you, I got some inside information. The local news, Dan, had called Dave Souza this morning and requested that they be at his victory party tonight. So that if anybody knows what the polls are standing at the last minute, it's the news media. So they're going to be there tonight. And if I'll tell you, as soon as we find out, no matter what we're doing, I will break in with a hoot and a holler, because I'm going to tell you, this is a guy that really needs to win. He deserves to win. I would encourage you to listen to last Thursday's Conover U. We had Dave as a guest on that. We're also going to be looking for Paul Hanash to win tonight, running in District 8 for Congress in California. Looking forward to watching that race. Also, we're looking forward to George Yang, who Dan and I interviewed last week, wasn't it? And we're going to have him again on Saturday's show, Saturday's symposium, whether he wins or not. He's running for the lieutenant governor. And I'll tell you, Dan, I was very impressed with George Yang, very highly impressed. He was a man of ideas. Not only does he have a great background, grew up in China under communist regime, so he knows good and well where that ends up. Had a great life story to tell, but I'll tell you what, he reminded me a lot of Herman Cain, because he had ideas and solutions and plans instead of just talking all about politics and doing stuff like that. I'm going to pass it back to you, Dan. How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm doing great. And you know something? I agree with you 100% on George. I was very, very impressed with him. A very intelligent man. He has everything well thought out. And he would be a wonderful lieutenant governor for the state of California. I mean, he is he's exactly what the state needs. He's been under communism. He knows what it really is, and he knows that the direction that state's going is a ticket to doom. And the state's already pretty much there, but it's nice to see that, you know, there's someone there who knows, you know, the pitfalls of living under socialism and what a nation needs. You know, I was asking him a few questions at the end of last week's show, and I loved everything he said. I agreed with 300%, and that's rare. I mean, I really, really like that, and I'm really looking forward to talking to him this week on Saturday. You know, regardless of the outcome, I pray to God he wins. You know, I've been praying for him, and, you know, too bad George is probably a little too busy right now, but if you were listening, I'd, you know, say, listen, I'm right there with you. You know, but there's been some really, really interesting things going on this week. You know, last week, they stole our Apache helicopters from Florida, and just today, they took our Black Hawks from our reserve units. So what I'm going to do is later this week, I'm taking a ride down to MacDill, and I'm going to talk to the guards in the entranceways and kind of plant a few seeds. You know, I'm telling them, remember the oath you took, and, you know, if your commanders tell you to go against the people, it's time to stand up if enough soldiers do that, they can take over the base and return the Blackhawks and Apaches back to us. Because I know the government's up to something. They've been doing this all over the country, and what we need to do as citizens is simply go down there, talk to the, you know, the guards, remind them of who they are fighting for, not the commander in chief, not a traitor who kills his own soldiers. It's time that we, the people, if we're going to be engaged in a war, we need to make sure that the people, our soldiers, are on the right side and not with a traitor to this nation. With that, I'll return it back over to you. I think. Are you
yeah,
there?
I think I hear Jennifer Montrose down in Alabama. She's at a victory party. I'm hoping it's a victory party. Let me tell you, it's a watch party for sure. And Jennifer, do we have any news on Tom Vigneault? How are things going down there?
Well, he is at 2% at this juncture. It's an interesting race with Congressional District 6 in Alabama. It looks like Scott Beeson is running second to Paul DeMarco. He was just a few minutes ago running in third place. So we're watching a lot of different races here in Alabama, and I know there's people watching all across the United States for primaries tonight, including Mississippi. I'm really pulling for several of the races across the United States. So McDaniel's in Mississippi, that's running for U.S. Senate against Cochran, and we're really, you know, hoping that he pulls it out, McDaniel. So it's going to be an interesting night. I look forward to seeing the election results tonight. I know that Dale Peterson and Jim Ziegler are kind of running neck and neck right now with state auditor, and so is Kathy Peterson running right behind Jeremy Oden. That's kind of a neck and neck race, so it seems. But we've got a couple of other Secretary of State race. John Merrill and Reese McKinney may be in a runoff. Jonathan Barbee is not doing so well tonight, I hate to say. It's between Chip Beaker and Terry Dunn. Terry Dunn's incumbent right now. Chip Beaker is in the lead. But we still have some time. There's still some boxes that haven't come in yet. So we'll keep a watch here. I pulled away from the television set. We've got everybody's at Royal Betting here at Tom Vigneault's place, and he's got a really good crowd. I will tell you, though, you know, this is one candidate that went door-to-door and wore out three pairs of shoes. Talk about the Professor Wellstone methodology of running a campaign, I mean, and getting out there and handshaking with every constituent known to man that you could possibly get to in this district. He did it. So that, you know, my hat's off to him for that. So I'll turn it back over to you, Scott.
Well, and you know what, Jennifer, you said an important thing, because I'm going to tell you, folks, I've learned a lot. Jennifer and I both, Dan, Teresa Brusky, Melissa Bohannon, Ken Broland, I could name off a bunch of names of people that we've all known each other since the Herman Cain campaign. And Herman Cain, when he exited the presidential primary that fateful Saturday, he told us all to go local, and we did. We really all went local, and we've learned a lot. I would say we've learned a whole lot more than a four-year degree could ever give us in what we've learned. And one of the biggest things I've learned is, you know what, when somebody loses, That just tells me that next time we can win. Most people, when they run their first time, they've never ran for office before, they very rarely win. I'm not afraid to get behind those people, that's for sure, and help them get over that learning curve, because oftentimes then the second time they decide to go out and do it, they've got the learning curve behind them. They've got a base that they start out with instead of starting out with nothing. They've got a donor list that they start out with without starting out with nothing. And they've got a better chance of winning. So I consider these people, some of these people that have never ran before, I consider that our fertile crop, our garden, where we've been growing candidates that next time we can pull out and do some winning. Win or lose, you know, sometimes, I especially somebody as good as Tom Vignel, I hate to see it when they don't win. But let me tell you, we'll run him again. He's a good man. He's learned a lot. We are right behind him. Now, I need to understand something, Jennifer, because I haven't quite been sure on this. So Jim Zig Ziglar is running against Dale Peterson?
Yes.
Okay, that's made it hard because I like both of them a lot. I've got huge respect.
Adam Thompson was the college Republican, young Republican pick. Adam Thompson has had some, you know, dealings working in the state auditor's department, but I'm really glad to see that Dale's, you know, actually running right behind Jim. This could very well be that, you know, the more boxes come in, they could be in a runoff together.
Right.
So,
is Kathy Peterson then running against Jonathan Barbie?
No, Kathy Peterson is running against. Yeah. Public Service Commissioner Place 2 is where Jonathan Barbie's running against. Chip Feger, Kerry Dunn's the incumbent. Kathy Peterson's running against Jeremy Oden, incumbent, in Place 1 for PSP.
Okay. That makes sense. Because I'm going to tell you, that you want to talk about one that would really tear me, is trying to make a pick between Kathy Peterson and Jonathan Barbie. You know me well enough to know that I love both of them. I think they're both – so they're running two separate public service commissioner pieces, but Jonathan's not doing too good tonight, I take it.
Not as of right now, no. But, you know, there's a chance for more, you know, of the boxes to come in. So – another race to be looking out for is the McDaniel race in Mississippi, U.S. Senate race against Cochran. That's going to be an interesting race, especially with the, you know, the news article that came out in the blaze of Breitbart about the incumbent U.S. Senator who apparently his wife's in a nursing home, bedridden. And, you know, he apparently has been having somewhat of a fling with his secretary for years, posing her as his wife. And so that, you know, it's time that we, you know, get rid of the riffraff, you know, and put the right people in office. And I think McDaniels has got the Tea Party support, and, you know, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that race pans out as well. Scott?
Well, exactly. And we're going to be watching, I'll tell you, you know, Dave Souza, I'm sitting here on pins and needles. I normally do the show holding my phone and pacing. I'm pacing extra tonight because looking forward to that, looking forward to George Yang and those things. And we're going to – we got Rodney Lee Conover getting ready to call in tonight in a little bit. He'll throw in some words to say. Dan, you know what? You are the viral king of Contending for Truth Radio this week, and I want you to talk a little bit about it. You did a post. You do a lot of posts. You type pretty good, and so a lot of the things that you do on social media are actual, like a blog post that you put out on Facebook, and you do that once, twice, sometimes more a day, but you had one this week on Extortion 17 that was incredibly well written. Not that everything you write is well written, but this one was extra special. It went viral. We've got already 126 shares. shares and a bunch of people on Contending for Truth Radio where we posted that. It was posted on Pundit Press. We want to mention Dan Butcher and Pundit Press and Pundit Press Radio. They are syndicating all of our shows along with a lot of good patriots. Josh Bernstein and Kenneth McClinton and Brian Cray and just a whole list of shows were included in there. But he posted that on the Pundit Press, and Josh Bernstein in his group pinned it to the top. You've got a whole bunch of shares on your page from it. It basically, in our world, went viral. And so I want you to tell us a little about that, and congratulations, my friend. Excellent job this week.
Well, thanks a lot. I never expected the response that I got, but I have to send out a special thanks to Dan and Josh, you know, for helping getting the word out. And to tell you the truth, it's really, Jennifer, it all came from you when you had Monica come on our show. And I really sat back after that show, and I was thinking about Billy Vaughn and how he must feel. I am unfortunately lost a son, and I know how it feels to lose a child. And I sat there and then said, how would you feel if you lost a child that was used as a sacrificial lamb, that his death could have been 100% avoided? And that got me madder than a hound dog or whatever. And I decided it was time to write a piece because nothing was being done about Extortion 17. I found out, I was asking around, I've been asking around to people. I said, do you realize SEAL Team 6 is dead? And most of the people didn't even realize that. And even people on Facebook were unaware. So I said, it's time to tell the story. So I took, a lot from, I had ordered Betrayed. I read that, and then I started doing a little more research on the side and found out that the Chinooks that SEALs usually use are stationed at MacDill, and our local radio station, did a piece, and they were mentioning that all these helicopters were back here. And I'm sitting there going, well, what do they use? And I found out that they were using a transport helicopter with a reserve unit that's never been done special ops. So I'm sitting there going, well, that's pretty, stinky. And I started, from the book, they mentioned how the four Afghan Special Forces guys were dropped off before they got to the normal LZ, and they were replaced with four others. And I'm going, this is fishy. So I started doing some research, and I found out on the news about 3 weeks ago that all special ops are controlled under the Secretary of State, and that they had a live feed of Extortion 17 going down. So this told me there was no way that the White House could deny this. And I decided, I said, this is the time to write this piece that I've been meaning to do. And I sat down on Sunday at 5 p.m., and I finished it at 5 a.m. I just kept on going until the job was done, and then I started posting it. And from the moment I started posting it, people started writing back, and it just took off from there. And what I want, to all our listeners now, is yes, you know, this story is, you know, 100% correct. And our president, vice president, and secretary of state sacrificed some of our bravest and greatest warriors to appease an enemy and to appease the death of a man who killed over 3,000 Americans. And this is wrong. This is the largest, and this is the biggest act of treason to ever come directly from the White House. These are the top three people in our nation, and they need to be held accountable. And we know the press is not going to touch this, and the only way we're going to get the information out and get enough pressure on our legislators is by spreading the word. And yesterday, I was blown away by the responses. And, you know, I'd like to thank everybody who shared the information. And what we need to do is take action on it. We all know about it now. There's Dan in the Pundit Press, you know, I know he said that it was going out and reaching up to 7 million people. And my guess is between everything Scott and I are hearing on shares done by everybody in Facebook, that there's got to be, you know, at least 3 or 4 million extra people who have read this or have gotten this. And, you know, it is through this. Now we have the numbers to be able to really do something. And now if we put the pressure on our legislators and they realize during an election year that they could jeopardize their own reelection campaigns if they don't do something about this, then we're going to see something happen. So we do have, you know, this is a perfect opportunity to take it, you know, to take down some evil people. And, you know, Obama needs to, you know, own up to this. Biden, we know that he mentioned SEAL Team 6 right on national TV. I heard it live. And that has been kept top secret since the SEALs were formed in 1967. And what did he do? He blasted on national TV. And he sentenced that day. He sentenced the SEALs to death. Aaron Vaughn was so upset. He had information sent to his parents forewarning them and saying, your life might be in danger. And, you know, Biden has to own up for what he did. And then the direct orders for Hillary, from Hillary, to say not to fire on the enemy when they had two Apaches on station with their crosshairs on the two Taliban men with the RPGs. They could have, I mean, all they needed is, permission granted, and 2 seconds later it would be over with. And every member of Extortion 17 would be alive today. But they were denied permission on 3 separate occasions. Now, so as far as I'm concerned, Hillary Clinton's a murderer. And these people need to be held accountable. And we as, you know, we the people need to show that nobody is above the law. including the president, vice president, and secretary of state. And they need to be all impeached from their office. But I don't know what Hillary's doing right now, but she needs to be prevented from ever running for office again. And all three should be tried with treason. And they should spend the rest of their lives in Fort Leavenworth, because that's where they belong. They are responsible for the deaths of 30 Americans on that. And then if you add with Hillary Clinton, you can add four more to that. And you know, it's time to say that we're sick of this. You know, this is not a communist country. And it's time that we, the people, took over and took control of our country again and got rid of this riffraff. These people need to go, and they need to be punished for what they did. And that was the reason for my writing this post. And I just prayed today and every day that it'll get people mad enough to take action. Because once we take action, you know, then we can get something done. But we need to do it together. Remember, when you have five fingers, you hold your hand out, you got five fingers. You close it, you got a fist. And that means something, you know, we can fight back from this. I'm also seeing some very, very, very scary things with the government moving helicopters, you know, away. And what I'd like everybody to do is to go to whatever base, be it Navy, Air Force, Marine, whatever, and just talk to the guards and remind them that they took an oath to, under God, to uphold and defend the Constitution in the United States, and that if their commanders tell them to take raise arms against the people, we need to remind them who they are defending. We are not the enemy, and it is this government who is the enemy. And this is why we need to get people out. And for this election, do your research and vote for the right people. We need to get rid of these riffraffs in Washington. Get rid of the rhinos. Get rid of the far left, these, you know, socialists. And anybody who breaks the law, including Holder, the entire top of this country has broken laws. And we need, all of them need to be held accountable, and justice needs to be served. And that was the reason I wrote my post on Extortion 17. And praise God, it got such good responses, and, you know, all the people that helped me spread the word, you know, I owe you everything. You know, with Dan and Josh both, you know, putting it right on the front of those two pages helped immensely. All the, you know, everybody out there in Facebook land who took that and started sharing it. You know, something we did a lot of good yesterday, and let's see it through until we can get rid of these people and, you know, get them to be held accountable. This is an election year. This is a great time for Congress to do this, because it will not be settled before November. And if we have these people being held accountable with open investigations going on all four of them, actually, that it will hinder the left from getting their candidates voted for, and we have a real good chance of taking control. And if we all these people are found guilty, it'll do immense harm to the left, and it will take them years to recover. And I'm not doing it to get at anybody. I'm doing this for our nation and for the good of our nation. You know, we talk a lot about what happened in 1787, in the summer of 1787, and think of the sacrifices our forefathers made so that we can live in freedom today. And I will not, as long as I'm breathing, I will not allow anybody to take those freedoms or jeopardize those freedoms like they're being jeopardized today. And with that, I'll bring it back to you, Scott.
Well, and you know what, it's so right. And I'm going to play something real quick here. Let me make sure that it's going to work. Because you're not the only one. You're not the only one that went viral this week, and I'm going to mention this as an introduction to what I want to comment on what you just said, because there's some important underlying things in what you just said, and if you will, just bear with me here in a second. I got to get the volume turned up. I don't have this clip loaded, but I've got it on YouTube, and I want you to listen to this. This will crack you up.
Hi, I'm Amelia Martinez, and you should vote for Sam Miller for Agricultural Commissioner. He's great. You know, you should go to Facebook, because my uncle likes him a lot, and you should go to Facebook, type in Scott Osborne, be friends with him, go politics. Copyright 1869. Vote for Scott Turner, too. Bye!
That was another thing that went viral this week. That was my number two niece. She was, you know how you take a box and you cut it and turn it into a television, and she had it on top of her head, and she was going through all these commercials. She had the shampoo bottles out. She was doing a shampoo and conditioner commercial. She was doing candy commercials. She was doing all these commercials. And then all of a sudden, she started doing a Sid Miller commercial. And I said, hold the phone. Let me get my camera and record this. So she backed up and did a Sid Miller commercial. And it went viral this week. She got a whole bunch of about, I think you're catching close to about 150 different shares on YouTube. Now, for my YouTube, that's viral, folks. I don't get up in the millions. But Sid Miller shared it, and she had a bunch of shares and a bunch of likes on Sid Miller's page. She got a big kick out of that. But I want to use that to talk about something that you kind of mentioned, Dan, and this goes to underlying of all of it. And we've had this discussion before on this show, and we're going to have this discussion again. Because we have things out there, folks, like Extortion 17 and the horrific, and more that we're finding out as Dan put two and two together this week. I also listened to a blog talk show the other night. And that was had Mary and George Strange, who their son Michael Strange was lost in Extortion 17. You know, we've had Monica and her book, and we've had the Extortion 17 book, and we're going to talk about that more. We've also got Benghazi. We've also got Fast and Furious. We've got the President of the United States, for the first time in the history of our country, negotiating with terrorists and letting loose five top value targets out of Guantanamo in trade for a man who we come to find out was actually basically, I believe, a traitor. He took off and fled into the hands of the enemy, has been there for 5 years. It looks like they're going to have to end up even court-martialing him. We could go a long ways on talking about things that make Watergate look like a children's game where you can make the kid stand in a corner for 30 seconds. We have got an administration in Washington, D.C., folks, that is run amok. Run amok. And nothing's happening. They're continuing to get away with it. Now, Chris Matthews, today is standing up and going, hold the phone a little bit. You know, every once in a while something happens and even the left-wing media turn around and say, wait a minute, what's going on? But I just don't think that's going to last very long. Folks, there are criminal activities going on in Washington, D.C. that are blatant now. The president did not confer with Congress in releasing these men from Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. He broke the law. Laws were broken in Benghazi, lies and deceptions, and we all know the facts, but nothing's happening. The reason nothing is happening is this, folks. America's not woke up to it. Unfortunately, we live in a society and a situation, and this is that part of the show, folks, where I stand out in my back on my back driveway and look at the houses. And I know that as I look at the houses behind me, if I walked into each one of those houses and had this discussion with those individuals, most of them would agree with me. But if I walked into those same houses right now and asked them what was Benghazi, most of them would know. They come home hard from work and they sit down and they watch sitcoms. They watch crime shows. They really don't pay attention to current events. They don't pay attention to what's going on, folks. Most of America doesn't know what's going on. Most of America doesn't know what is going on, folks. Got word out of Michigan that one of their laws that they just made in January is that a child from 12 to 17 has the right to hide their medical records from their parent. And medical centers putting up signs saying, we're going to take your child and have a 5-minute discussion with them without you. You're not allowed to be there. Ladies and gentlemen, Common Core, Obamacare, if we started listing, we'd use up the rest of the show on some of these things that are going on in our country, that if most people knew they were going on, we would rise up against it and stop it. The people don't know, and the politicians are basically lying, and the people are believing it. We're in a bad situation, folks. We've got to wake up America. We have got to get the word out. You know, Dan, I was having a discussion. Another show that I listened to today, Vincent Crowe, I got to look, because I'm going to state this show. It was a great show. I want to encourage everybody to go to it. Just a moment, and I will have it here in just a second. I'm going to pause for just a second because I want to make sure I get this show out. I was listening to this show called Come On, Come On, Come On. It's the Something in Crow show. I've only listened to it once, so sorry about that, folks, not remembering exactly the name on it. Well, I'm losing it. I'll find it. Anyways, I was listening to that, and on the Facebook, a guy in one of the groups got upset because they posted the show in the group. So I argued with him. He called it advertising. I called it sharing information. And I told him, I said, I basically told him, you're a fool. These guys aren't advertising their show. This is a blog. Every one of those links in that group are different people sharing their information that they've got, some by blog, sometimes by blog talk, some by podcast, some by video, some by article. Got some great people writing articles. Kim Moran, great friend. Joe Ruby, different people that write for The Examiner. We're always sharing this information. Keep sharing it, folks. Because we've got to wake up America. We have got to wake them up. We do a great job of preaching to the choir. Rodney Lee Conover is supposed to call in by now. Rodney, call the phone. I know you're listening. he'll tell you. If I had $1 million right now, if I won Publishers Clearinghouse and had $1 million, the first money I would spend on is on a bunch of hot dogs and get a large venue, feed a bunch of people, get somebody like Ben Carson, get somebody like Herman Cain, get somebody like one of these greats, that Rodney Lee Conover, for example, that can get up and explain it to the people and explain these things to the people. And get them to understand the direction that the Democratic Party is going and the goals that the Democratic Party have. Because I'm going to tell you, folks, you're being told by a lot of people that Common Core is just a set of standards. Bull crap. It is not just a set of standards. They spent $10 billion on it. You don't spend $10 billion on a set of standards, plus almost $1 billion a year for the next 7 years. That is not a set of standards, folks. That is a scheme. A scheme that includes a set of standards. A scheme that includes data mining. A scheme that includes working real hard to separate you from your child. There are parents being, there are students being told right now in our classrooms, your parents are old-fashioned and they don't know what they're talking about when it comes to God. They don't know what they're talking about when it comes to politics. They're making fun of parents in the classrooms to distance the parents and the child's relationship. The far left is in control of the Democratic Party. The socialists, the communists are in control of the Democratic Party. And the most part of America doesn't know it. The average Democratic voter doesn't know it. And we've got to get out and we've got to communicate to those people. We got to get your article, Dan, to more than just us. Because I guarantee the majority of the people that read your article, as far and wide as it went, and we couldn't even begin to calculate, it went to the pundit press, got some great viewership there.
Mm-hmm.
Still went to people that already knew, for the most part, what the term extortion 17 meant. These are the people that know Benghazi. We got to get that word out to these people that are sitting in their homes right now that don't ever pay attention to politics. They're being told that the president's just doing a great job. Oh, yay, right on. He's our first black president. First black
mm-hmm.
one. I'll tell you, yeah. folks, I'm proud that we've got a black president, too. Our history of our country, slavery, stuff that went on with the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, especially. I'm proud that that was not a holdback to a man being elected to office. But that doesn't have anything to do with the incompetence of the man in the office. That doesn't have anything to do with the direction and the goals of the man in the office. That doesn't have anything to do with, we know this man does not believe in American exceptionalism. He believes that America has been too big for too long and that he wants to bring it down a little bit to size and share the wealth with the rest of the world. I don't care what color he is, folks. I wouldn't care if he was my own dad. I would be against him. If he was my own father, I would be against him for what he believes, for what he thinks, and for what he's doing, and the ineptness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not personal, folks, but it is dangerous. And I'd encourage you, you can go to Contending for Truth Radio, our Facebook page, and you can read Dan's article. Go read Dan's article, and then tell somebody about it that doesn't pay attention to politics. Get yourself educated to the point that you can talk about these things. You know, we talk a lot, and Jennifer, we really need to set K. Carl up, Jennifer, for another time. Here soon, anytime he wants. I think on this show we're pretty much free and clear. We need to have Kate Carl on again to discuss Frederick Douglass Republicans. Let me tell you, folks, buy the book. Go to frederickdouglassrepublicans.com. We always talk about it. We should give the website out more often than we do. But I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican. And I'm a Frederick Douglass Republican because it requires you to go out and talk politics. I talk politics. I talk politics at church. Oh, you're not supposed to do that. Oh, you baloney. I do. Now, I happen to have a lot of people supporting me on my side at church, but I've got some other people at church that don't know anything that's going on. But Sammy Walker and I talk Wednesday night before church. We talk, and there's people listening that don't pay attention to politics. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about it, folks. When people come over to your home, don't be afraid to talk politics. Don't be afraid to talk about where this great country is going and the direction it's going and the ends and the means that the government wants to go. Another one we're going to have on one of these days, Anita Moncrief. She'll tell you. She lived it. She lived it at Acorn. Ends justify the means mentality. She will tell you. They don't care, lie, cheat, steal, whatever it is, as long as they get to the end goal that they are looking for. Obamacare was never designed to do anything except for to get us to single-payer, government-controlled health care where everybody's got the exact same thing. And all you've got to do is ask somebody in a foreign country that's got it, whether you want to have it or not. Ask the Prime Minister of Canada if he likes it, because he comes to the United States to get his health care. Folks, we're on a road. We're on a bad road, and if we don't wake the rest of these people up, and then we've got enough ammunition. We have got enough ammunition against the left right now to flatten them. We've got enough to put them in the closet. Still, today, only 12% polls as Americans that say they are far left. Two-thirds of the Democratic Party that's voting Democrat has no clue, folks, no clue as to the ends that the left wants to go to. They think it's they're voting Democrat because the Republicans are racist. I don't got a racist bone in my body. I love everybody. In fact, I've been accused on a number of times of loving everybody too much. I'm too nice. I don't care what the color of your skin is. I don't want to take things away. People want to tell me I'm because I'm a Republican that I want to take away the safety net. I don't want to take away the safety net. I'm a Republican. I believe in the safety net. The left is trying to turn the safety net into a fishing net, folks. They're trying to turn the safety net into a fishing net, and it's going to rip. With that, Jennifer Montrose, are you still there or hanging around? You want to throw something in there, or we'll toss it to Dan? Jen? She's there, Dan, but she's hanging on. So go ahead.
Okay, I agree with you. I mean, it's another thing that made me write extortion. You know, that post yesterday was even of the people who are listened and you know read what we do. A lot of them even were not aware that SEAL Team 6 is dead and what happened with Extortion 17. They didn't even understand that Extortion 17 is a call sign for that helicopter. And, you know, I heard people saying, oh, I thought that had to do with Benghazi. See, even amongst our own, we didn't share the information enough. And what we need to do is everybody who has that post, print it out. If you can, make copies and pass out the information. Every single word that was written was double-checked. Every single word there is 100% true. There isn't a lie or a misdeception in that. One thing when I write, and every post I have for anybody who follows my post, you know, my daily post, if I ever make a mistake, I always put a follow-up post correcting the mistake and then telling what the actual event was. And I'm not, you know, I'm the type of person who is not ashamed to make a mistake. You know, I'm not God. So once in a while something is wrong, but what I know on Extortion 17, I know every word of that is true. And it's backed by people who were there. I mean, that is the supporting evidence comes from where people were actually there at the event. You know, and when we look at things like, Fast and Furious, we know what happened. With Benghazi, I mean, we know what happened there, too. You know, our people at the very top watched the murders of our ambassador and his aide and two Navy SEALs. More SEALs have been lost under this administration than in Vietnam and all the wars combined. It's because what happens is this administration is doing regular acts of treason and passing information along. And people are not, you know, because everybody relies on the daily news, on ABC, CBS, NBC. None of these people are following the truth. None of these. I mean, it's gotten so bad that people are finally opening their eyes and getting their information online. Now, what I'm telling you to do is don't, you know, rely on the American press. Go abroad. Start listening to these. Don't listen to, you know, even people like Glenn Beck and Hannity and all those. Their information is censored, not because of their choice, but because their managers and the people who they report to require it, or they will not be posted, you know, they would not be allowed to be on national networks. The best place to go is England has some really good information coming out. Israel has some wonderful information. Australia. Go abroad and listen to what they have to say. Because they'll give you more truth than you'll get in any national media outlet in this country. And it's sad to say that, but the fact is they've all been bought out. And, you know, you cannot trust what anybody has to say. The only way, and it requires effort. It's time where you're going to have to start thinking more about what's going on in this country than what's going on in The Price is Right or whatever, or who's going to win American Idol. And, you know, I am on this computer 12 to 16 hours a day. If I get my average time, I go to bed is 2 a.m. And this is why people like Scott and I and Jennifer and Josh and Dan, you know, this is what we do. None of us, well, you know, a couple are getting paid, but the vast majority of us are doing this for nothing. I have to pay to do this. And, you know, I have to pay my internet fees every month and all that. But I bought my own computer. And I'm on this computer. This computer basically never shuts off. I mean, I take cat naps and then go back to work. You know, when I post information out here, through a lot of research and a lot of time. And, you know, Scott does the same thing. You know, we're out talking to people. We're researching the information so you don't have to. You know, and don't go to the big, you know, networks. Go to the small groups. You know, like us, who we're dedicated to this, not because we are pro-Democrat or pro-Republican or pro... I don't like either party right now, to be totally honest.
That's for sure.
You know, I'm sick and tired of both of them. You know, I think that Washington is filled with a bunch of self-serving idiots, and there's with a few exceptions, but the vast majority of them are totally useless. And you know, when you really confront them and really put them to the test, you find out what they really stand for. And they stand for their pockets. They stand for their wallets, not for what the people are for. I mean, if they were for us, if they wanted to defend, you know, if they wanted to stand up for the constituents, we wouldn't be in the problem we're in right now. And that's not only a Democratic problem. Republicans are just as bad. And it's time for we the people to demand that our legislators do what they're paid to do. And that is to represent the constituents who elected them, instead of saying, what can I do to make more money? Or how can I build my little power thing? And that's where Washington is today. And this is what's so important with the grassroots movements. You see, we're taking everyday people and who have good ideas, and then we're promoting them. And we're also, you know, we're fighting things that need to be fought. You know, right now, 75% of the people in Washington are attorneys. Tort reform is the number one thing that's screwing up health care today. You know, people don't, you know, you hear it on TV, sue, sue, sue. But guess what? Every time a lawsuit is won, which is usually settled out of court because it's cheaper, but every time $100,000 was handed out, $200,000, where do you think that comes from? It doesn't come from the sky. The insurance company has to pay for it. And then the insurance company has to pass that extra money on to the doctor. And the doctor has to pass it on to the hospital or the people he's treating. And, you know, the Democratic Party says, oh, it's a terrible, you know, it's all the insurance companies who are raping us, or the doctors who are raping us. No, it's the damn lawyers who are raping us. And we need some changes here in this country. And we need, the only way we can get it is to get more people involved. And with that, I think Jennifer has some important things to let us know. So, Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I am. I want to tell you, I understand that McDaniel's doing quite well over there against Cochran in U.S. Senate race in Mississippi. I think I'm looking up the details on it right now, of course. I think we've got some interesting wins. This would be a huge win for the Tea Party if McDaniel beats Cochran, I will tell you. It looks like right now we've had some interesting election results coming out of Alabama for Congressional District 6. The numbers, the polls are still, the boxes are still coming in. Looks like Scott Beeson's in third, and Gary Palmer is now up in second against Paul DeMarco, which was a big jump. Anybody... Scott, if you'll give the number to American Sovereignty Radio, Anybody wants to call in from their state and give election results for us, for those that are running their primaries tonight, we would love to hear from you. You know, this is a really low turnout this time. And I can't impress upon you the importance of voting. You know, the reason that we're in the mess that we're in now is because we are electing these people. When you sit at home and you don't get out and vote, then you're just as much responsible for the person that got elected to office because you didn't get out there and make a difference, you know. And we have got to get more involved. People don't want to go out and precinct walk and sign write and make phone calls because it's an inconvenience to them. But yet, at the end of the day, when the other candidate, somebody wins, they didn't want to win, and they're frustrated because your utility rates are high, you know, the roads are not getting fixed, the school system is failing, you know, then what are you doing out there getting your candidate for school board elected? What are you doing out there to ensure that you got the right U.S. Senator, you know, elected to your state? What are you doing to elect the right congresswoman or man into the U.S. Congress? What are we doing to make a difference? You know, I get sick and tired of seeing people like a mouse in a wheel. They get on social media and they want to complain. And I listen to the complaints all day long. But I think that in America right now, we are fed up. We feel like it doesn't matter what we do, our vote doesn't count because of voter fraud, because the machines are being, you know, tampered with. You've got dead people coming out of the woodwork voting. You know, at least now in Alabama, we now have picture ID law, so you've got to show your driver's license, you know, if you're going to vote. You know, and then they said that there's just so many things that are just, you know, so wrong with what's going on in today's society, you know. But, you know, we got parents that are complaining, people that are complaining about what's going on in our school system, you know. And if you don't like it, get involved and make a change. Change it. You know, it's we the people that can change it. You know, our Constitution is at risk right now. There's just so much going on. Something's got to change. Things have got to change. Would I turn it back over to Scott?
Well, yeah, Jennifer, and I'm trying desperately to find something on Thad Cochran and Daniels, and the only thing I'm finding is about an hour ago on Political. Cochran's behind by 2%, but that was an hour ago, so I will keep looking. And we do want you to call in. If you're from another state and you've got one of the primary states that's going on tonight, 347-205-9620. That's 347-205-9620. Call in and let us know what's going on. I am sitting here right now looking at the results in California for Dave Souza, and the El Dorado County election results page is blank. So we still don't know what's going on out there yet. We should any time now, watching Dave Souza's page. Good things going. I'm going to tell you, I've got a good feeling about this. I have a funny feeling we're going to retire Thad Cochran tonight, which is a great thing. You know, he's been in there since 1978, folks. He's been in there since I was a little kid, okay? That's a long time. So it's and sometimes even if it's a good guy, that's just a long time. I'm a firm believer. I'm kind of like, I don't always agree with our Governor Rick Perry. I think he's a good man. I like him as in the man. I don't always agree with his politics. But he's got some brilliant ideas running around in his head, and I'm going to tell you one of them. He spoke this to me personally, that he would take and make all of our congressmen and all of our senators up in Washington, D.C., part-time jobs. Where they go to work part-time, and then they have to come home and have a job at home that they go to work to. Would keep them humble, would keep them from doing the Barbara Boxer, can you please call me Senator, because I've earned it so much over my life. It would keep that kind of a mentality down. You know, these guys that have been in there forever, I had a huge respect for Bob Byrd. Never very rarely agreed with him politically. Huge respect, though, for his hard work and his respect to the Constitution of the United States. But, man, he was in there way too long. Democrat, Republican, either side, I don't care. You don't need to be in there that long. It's time for Thad Cochran to go. We've got some other races. I'll tell you, folks, Texas, we did this last week. And we want to mention that. Sid Miller, of course, won that runoff. We knew he was going to. Exciting about that. Now we look forward to helping him run in the next race. He was running, looking to possibly run against Kinky Friedman. If you remember Kinky Friedman, he's a comedian and a musician here in Texas. He gets out nationally every once in a while. He was running against a guy named Hogan on the Democratic primary side. And he lost. Kinky Friedman lost. His jokes and his name recognition wasn't enough. So we're going to push Sid Miller over the edge until November. Looking forward to that. I am going to be this Friday and this Saturday, folks. I am going to be at our GOP convention here in Texas. Looking forward to that. I will be over in Fort Worth. Dan, I'll be doing the show from the, probably, most likely at that point, from the Sid Miller booth is where I will be doing the show. We're going to have George Yang on. Hopefully he's won the primary tonight for Lieutenant Governor. If he has not, we will be talking to him about what his next step is. But he's got a great story. We're looking forward to that. But I will be running that from Fort Worth. We will be broadcasting live out of Fort Worth next week. I'm having too much fun in Texas, folks. I am telling you, I'm having just way too much fun. California was no fun. I can say a lot of things about California. Sacramento stinks as far as politics go. It's got a really lopsided to the left, and they've controlled a lot of things. You know, Texas and California got all the same natural resources. California's almost bankrupt, and Texas is the number one state in the union for business, and we're booming, and inflation is low here. And in fact, gasoline, you know, we're paying for gas here, folks. Paying like $3.33 a gallon for gas, paying almost $5 and over $5 in California. But California, another thing about California is I never had any fun in politics. I was sitting there talking with my good friend Jennifer Montrose late at night, talking about all the good things she's doing out in Alabama, all the fun she was having, doing convoys and doing meetings and getting together with candidates and having all kinds of fun. And I was sitting up there in Springville doing a blog talk radio show and posting on Facebook. Well, now I'm in Texas, and I've been going here and going there and having a good time. So we're looking forward to this next Friday and Saturday. We'll be calling you out from the great state of Texas and Fort Worth. And I got to remind the ladies. Boy, I got ladies' Bible class Friday. I keep forgetting that. I got to let those ladies know. I probably might just have to do the ladies' Bible class from the convention. That might be quite interesting. Anyways, folks, that's what's going on, and we want to keep watching these races and encourage you, if you're listening and you're in a different state, 347-205-9620, give us a call. Push one and talk to us, and we will get you on the air to talk about what's going on in your state. Some of these races are important, folks. I want to tell you something. The left is really focusing on the school board races. Get involved with your school boards, folks. They know that is the last bastion of politics is with the children. And I'm going to tell you, I have seen in Texas where the conservatives are winning. We're winning all over the place. We ousted David Dewhurst out of the, again, we beat him. Ted Cruz beat him the first time. Dan Patrick beat him the second time. We ousted it as an incumbent of lieutenant governor. But I'm going to tell you where the liberals won, folks. They won all over the state. In supervisors' races, in superintendents' races, and all kinds of things at the school level, not superintendents' races. My voice is going, folks. School board races, they won all over the place, folks. They trounced our anti-Common Core people, and the pro-Common Core people won. in Texas. That is one thing that we've got to really start working on. I'm going to tell you, if you're in with my listening ear, you find somebody that's running for school board that is anti-Common Core somewhere, and you give them your support. I don't care if you're going to support Ted Cruz for president. I don't care who you're supporting for your local congressman, your senator. You find a school board race. We have got to take those back. The left knows we're trying to take them, and they put all their eggs in that basket in Texas. And Dan, Jennifer, can you hear me? Jennifer? Just a second, folks. We've got a problem. There it goes.
Yep,
that's okay, Dan.
I pushed the wrong button. Sorry about that.
I know. I'm not quite sure. I'm going to go back and listen and see if it shuts off the show when the host, it says you are disconnected from the thing up on the dashboard when the host number calls in. And that's why I have Dan call in that number. Sometimes I'm dealing with a half-charged phone, and I have to change in the middle, and I don't want to undo the workings of the show. But that's all right. That's Blog Talk Radio. That's what makes it fun. Anyways, folks,
yep.
I'm going to one more time. You find somebody that's going running for school board, and you, boy, folks, you get in there and help them because we got to win those races. So with that, Dan, I'll pass it back to you.
Well, I'm sorry about that. I put my elbow down and all of a sudden it disconnected. I was like, oh! So, and I agree, you know, we people, we can give you the information. You know, we're dedicated to this. This is something that we do from our hearts. And the information we provide is as accurate as it can be. And we do a lot of work to make sure of that. And so, listen not only to, us and Continue for Truth, but, listen to the other ones in Blog Talk Radio and all the, the radio shows on Pundit. And, go to us. We're the people out there. That, we aren't these movie stars. We aren't these high, well-known people. We're just everyday people like you, like all of you. But, something? We're true, true patriots. You'll never find a harder worker than Jennifer, Scott, Josh, me. And all the, there's a bunch of us that, and we all do it out of the love of our hearts. Rodney's out there. He's not getting paid for this. We're all out doing this because we have a love for country. And we can't express it enough that we can't do this alone. We can give you the information, but unless you take action, we can't do it. We can't cover every school board election. It's just, the thousands of them. So it's up to you to, take a little step on and, get out there just, you don't even need to go to that many meetings. Just get to know the people. Go to a few meetings, get to know the people, and get to know the people. Talk to them and find out where they stand. Once you have that information, then you can make an informed decision. And we can, it's the same thing. Pretty much straight across the board. Get out to know the people. You can do this over the course of, a year. And then you write down what the people you like. And then you just go over and, occasionally get on the internet. And, it's, you know, it's time that you just get out there and help your country. And think about what your, you know, what your our forefathers, you know, did to save this nation. And, you know, I just wanted to butt in. Our editor just said there was great responses from the article yesterday, which I'm very happy and glad people are starting to listen. But now that you're listening, now we need you. Take your printer, make some photocopies, go down to, you know, a copy store, print them out, pass them out. Give them to people. Let them read for themselves. Let them see for themselves what is going on. You know, we can only do so much. But once I give you the information, or what Scott gives you the information, or what Jennifer gives you the information, you know, you aren't going to find more dedicated people than us. And now is the time where you got to get involved. Because if we don't get involved soon, you know, if people don't get involved soon, we're going to lose this country. And I, you know, I'm so much for this country. And Jennifer, are you back or? Oh, I guess she's not.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, then I'm passing it over to you.
Thank you, guys. You know, it's been kind of crazy. I'm driving on the road. I've had a tire gauge light to come on, so I've been kind of trying to figure out where I'm going to stop next to get it. We've had this issue with me being on the radio before and having tire problems. So, anyway, trying to be safe. I've got to head back down to Baton Rouge, Louisiana tomorrow. We're looking forward to the governor signing the bill into law, SB 250, to keep Tony the Tiger at home. Hopefully, we'll be able to get him a girlfriend one of these days real soon. Dan, so it's just interesting. You know, we've had the media come out wanting to interview Michael Sandlin, and we just said we're going to wait till the bill is signed into law by the governor before we go any further with any of the interviews. So there's, you know, it's just interesting. The animal rights activists just do not know when to stop. You know, and we're saying that, you know, this guy's constitutional rights have been violated. You know, we're going to stand firm. So, you know, keep a listen out for the, you know, the media coming out there, because we're going to be getting ready to put together Tiger Fest in Gros Pet, Louisiana, to be able to celebrate, you know, keeping Tony the Tiger home in the place that he's known for the last 14 years. You know, this is an interesting election time in 2014. For those of you that are not engaged, that want to, you know, do other things, you know, even my roommate came out and voted today. I'm so proud. You know, we had low voter turnout. It's not election year. Seems like if it's a presidential election race, then everybody comes and, you know, everybody and their grandmother comes out to vote. Well, except for 2012, when most of the Christians seem to stay home, you know. But I think it's time. I think it's time that we wake up, because if we don't, we're going to find ourselves, you know, in a place that we're just not going to be able to come back from. Constitutional rights being violated left and right, you know, and our gun rights being taken away from us in so many different states. You know, and, I mean, so when I walk into a restaurant and it says no guns allowed, I typically walk out. I mean, to post it on your door that says no guns allowed, you're just allowing the criminals to come in and say it's open season for me to shoot the place up. It's crazy. I see so much of this at school. Walk into my son's school and they say no guns on the premises. So what do you do? You're helpless. You're defenseless. Somebody said to me the other day, you know, that they keep their gun in the car. I'm like, what good's that going to be with you when somebody in a building, you know, pulls a gun out and starts to go postal on you and your gun's in the car, what good is that going to do you? You know, I think people need to wake up, you know, and the things that are happening right now with our military and all the medical, you know, stuff that's going on with them, you know, I just think it's time that we've got to wake up. You know, it's just I'm really looking forward to what's going to pan out and all these races today, the primary races, and I'm looking forward to hearing from anybody out there that wants to call in, that's listening in to American Sovereignty Radio. Scott's got the number. If you can shout it out again one more time, we ask for people to call in and let us know what's going on in your state. You know, tonight's one of those interesting nights. We've got a couple of congressional races. Arizona's got a couple of races that we're watching, and so is Scott's watching a couple of races there in California. So, anybody got any information they want to shout out to us on American Sovereignty Radio? Please call in. Scott, I'll turn it over to you. Scott?
Boy, I did it again, talking away and the mute button on. Don't you hate that dumb mute button? Oh, Jennifer, you know what you said was very true, and I'm watching what's going on with Dave Souza. We should get some information here pretty soon. The polls are closed out in California, and Dave Souza is out wandering around El Dorado County, visiting with people and watching the TV results on different things. He just sent a picture where he is in, looks like a grocery store, a small community grocery store, doing that, watching the poll results. We can't wait, I'm going to tell you, folks. I can't say enough. I can't get enough to say enough about Dave Souza. Dave Souza is a good man, folks, and looking forward to finding out if he wins tonight. Giving a shout out to Laura Klein, or I should Ann Klein, Laura Klein, you know, alias. Laura, if you're listening, call in and ask questions. She's got a question for me, but she's not afraid to call in. So call in, Laura. Call in. That's 347-205-9620. Call in and talk on the show. Give her a hard time. That's a good friend of mine. Fighting Common Core up in Ohio, fighting very, very hard, and I know she's trying to listen to the show on the internet and having some problems. But folks, what are we sitting at here at 33 minutes till? We're running down the clock. I'm going to pass it back to Dan for some more remarks. I'm going to tell you, Dan, I'm not quite sure that I haven't decided that I'm going to live in Texas as the number one state, but in the middle of the summer I'm going to come down and visit in Florida because it is getting hot. I am telling you, it has been hot today and humid, and I'm standing here with sweat dripping down my brow from the humidity. So you might just win today, Florida being number one.
Well, today it only got up to 84, so it was a beautiful day. The sea breeze was blowing. It was like heaven here, and I don't envy you at all right now. And price of gas, by the way, is the exact same here as it is over there. So we're both enjoying, you know, more reasonable gas than they're paying in California. So I'm really happy about that. And I just got more word that we're getting a lot of responses from the post I sent yesterday. I'm really, really happy about that. And, you know, we couldn't have done it without our the people who syndicated us, Pundit Press. They are wonderful, and people, you know, go to their website and, you know, look for their radio shows and their articles, you know, from the press and from the writers. and you're going to learn so much because, you know, this whole community of ours is all dedicated to telling the truth and sharing the truth. You know, we are not like the other side who will lie and believing that just to win, you know, win at all costs. We're just as ready to stand up against either side, because the truth is what carries you through. Thomas Jefferson said that. And, you know, when you're looking at our nation, you're part of the greatest nation in the world. And we're a nation that was created under divine intervention. And for many, many, many years, we were the guiding light for the world. And today, you know, that light has been dimmed. And it's been dimmed by a socialist government who is trying to take us over. And I know out there amongst you that there's people are not going to stand for what socialism and communism is. And to avoid, you know, having to go to war, it's much better that we settle this right here in the voting booth and take the time, because if we don't do it now, we're going to have to solve it, you know, in a much worse way. I mean, we're seeing signs that the government's preparing for it, and we don't want any part. I mean, I don't want to see another civil war. The last one we fought, 640,000 Americans were killed, or that translates out to a quarter of the population of the nation at that time in 1861 to 1864. I mean, do you know what that means by today's numbers? That's in the millions. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see your child die out there defending freedom that we should have been, we could have done in the voting booth. So please, please, please take some action. Look at your school board. Look at your congressman. Know who you're voting for. And I'm not talking to just Republicans. I'm talking to everybody. You know, and vote for the person who best takes your belief. And if the person doesn't stand up, follow that person as that, and, you know, while they're in office. And if they do not follow the promises they make during their election campaign, it's time to think of another person to vote for. And let's, you know, push for term limits. Let's not go for these people. You know, if a politician has 60 or $100 million behind them, you know something? You know, it's time to take a step back right there and say, you know something, they're being bought out. Because if they have that much money behind them, you know something, people expect, well, in economics, we call it return on investment. And if there's $60 million there, there's people back there that are going to expect a return on their investment. So take a few minutes to think about that, because they're going to collect that from just the general population. These are corporate people that are doing this, and you know, if a corporation is telling, is supporting me, that means that when I get elected, I gotta pay back them. And this is something we don't want for politicians. Don't think that they all need to be attorneys. They don't. You can be a plumber. You can be a farmer. You can be a scientist. You can be anything. All a person needs to be president or anything else is dedication to the Constitution, a willingness to learn the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Federalist Papers. They need to take the time to do that. They need to look into history. And, you know, that can be done by anybody. And they don't need a degree from Harvard or Yale or Princeton or any other fancy school. They don't even need a college degree. They can do it with a high school education. As long as they're willing to, you know, put the time in and the dedication, then, you know, these are the best people to elect. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Jennifer again. Sounds like she's back on the, back with us. Jennifer, are you there?
Actually, Dan, we got somebody on the other line, but we're going to bring in. I think that noise you're hearing is from an 818 area code. I wonder who is in the 818 area code. I only know one person. We're going to Rodney Lee Conover. Rodney, how you doing?
Pretty good. How is everybody?
We are doing great, having a great show, talking about a little bit of everything. You know how it goes.
Dan, has Scott cried at all during this show? Because he cried a lot during our show.
No, he's actually been pretty happy today. We've had a good few days, and great hearing from you again. I haven't talked to you in a long time. So going on your end?
Oh, much better, much better. Now, I hear that you had quite an episode the other day, but it didn't stop you from doing your radio show in the emergency room or anywhere else.
Nah. Just a little, you know. I'll do it from anywhere, as long as I can talk.
As long as you're above ground, and if we hear an echo, we'll know what happened.
Exactly.
That's right. I'm glad you brought that up, Rodney. I forgot to mention. I was going to mention that tonight, folks. You know, Dan Wilson's active and busy, but I'm going to tell you, Saturday, he called in to do the show from the emergency room, from the emergency room bed. That is dedication, Dan.
Scott, we have a caller on the phone from Alabama who would like to get some current election results. American 70 Radio, say hello to Matt Jenkins. He's been following the election results all night tonight, and he's got some information to share with us.
Hey, Matt, how are you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. How's everyone doing tonight?
We are doing good, watching election results in Alabama, watching election results in California, and just having a great time.
Yeah, it's been a great day for politicos, so, but... It's been an interesting day in Alabama. 6 congressional district race. They're expected to go to a runoff. The lead contender, Paul DeMarco, AP just declared that he is going to go to runoff against Gary Palmer. FreedomWorks had backed Chad Mathis. He only ended up getting 15% of the vote tonight. And local Tea Parties had supported Scott Beeson, and he did not make it. He just was outspent very much, so... That's one of the that's the biggest race we had in the state today.
Excellent. Things are rocking in Alabama as always. Some of them are winning. I really was rooting real hard for Jonathan Barbie. Love the man dearly, but we'll find him something to do next time. Jennifer,
Yes.
So do we have any other news down there?
State auditor's race.
Jim Ziegler and Del Peterson, both Tea Party favorites, have advanced to a runoff.
Oh, boy, that is going to be hard for me, because I'm going to tell you, I like Jim a lot, and I've got huge respect for Dale. I think if I had to pick one right now, I would just definitely have to pick Dale Peterson, but I like Jim Ziegler as well. He's a good man. I'll tell you about Jim, folks. Jim works really, really hard with our elderly and does a great job with that.
Well, we've had a couple of school board races that have been pretty hot and heavy around here, especially for those people that are following, you know, the AEA and, you know, Common Core and that sort of thing. Have you got any information to give us, Matt, on any of the school board races?
The school board races, Mary Scott Hunt did win. But one of the big upsets of the night, one of our longtime senators that's been in Montgomery for years, was beat by Tim Sprayberry. That was one of the largest upsets in the state tonight. And Tim has never held public office, but if all plays well, he should be the next senator in East Alabama, and that does represent from Anniston down to the Auburn area.
Good deal. Rodney, do you have any results, anything out there going on? We know anything about Paul Hanash yet?
No, it's way too early here. Hi, Jennifer, how are you?
Well, folks, you know, if you're listening on the Internet, I think probably tonight will be one of those nights that we go over. We're sitting at about 20 minutes. But if you get up to the top of the hour and you want to continue listening, we'll go into the third hour because I want to keep going and try and see if we can find out if Dave Souza especially wins and Paul Hanash. 347-205-9620. 347-205-9620 if you want to listen in on the third hour. Rodney, how long do you think until we start getting any kind of results on Paul?
Probably in about that long, about 15 or 20 minutes.
Well, good deal. Well, we'll just hang on and we'll just keep going. I'm sure Jennifer might fade out on us. She's got things to do, but she'll probably she can stay. Matt would love to have you stay and continue joining the conversation. And Dan Wilson, I know you're always up for it, but we'll see if we can try and get those results in, because they're important results, folks. And Matt's talking about some important races, folks. You know, when we're talking about especially our school boards, we talked about that earlier. The left is putting everything they've got to make sure pro-Common Core people are involved in those races, and so we want to get involved in those heavily. Jennifer, I'll pass it back to you.
I just want to say, you know, for everybody out there at their election watch party, you know, our candidates need our support. And I want to say to the spouses of the candidates that are running, my hat's off to you, because I know that you put up with a lot, especially, you know, with all the backlash that comes from the media and stuff, you know, so my hat's off to the as well. So, you know, I just, you know, my hat's off to everybody that, you know, everybody, I know we've got some races that seem to be, you know, they've got their own agenda and stuff, but there's several, we've got a couple of other states that are very important. I'm looking to hear, been trying to find out what's going on in Mississippi. So I've been trying to see what's happening in Mississippi against Cochran and McDaniel. So if anybody's got any particular, if anybody's got anything particular that they want to share on that race, please, by all means, speak out. Matt?
I do not have any information on that race at this time.
Well, and I want to take us in a little direction for a few minutes, because, Jennifer, you mentioned something very important. And hats off to everybody that runs. It is not an easy sacrifice. It is a sacrifice you will never see me make. You will never see me run for public office. I'm like John LaRosa. If I started running for office, we'd be really in trouble. They'd try and beat me up. But I want to tell you, it's not easy. We've got two people that have ran for office on the phone right now. Matt Jenkins has ran. Rodney Lee Conover has run. And it is not an easy task. It is a life-engulfing task. It is a task that if you've got a spouse, like Matt has got, it is not easy on the spouse or the family. If you're single, like Rodney Lee, it's a little bit easier because you don't have that concern, but you've got a lot of hard work. So, Rodney, I'd like for you to comment on that. Exactly. Man, you've got some really important words that you always, when we talk to a candidate, you tell them these three things that good men, good women are taught growing up, that it is just, it's almost impossible for a good conservative candidate to overcome because we're taught to be different than what it takes to run a campaign.
Well, this is something that I'm sure Matt will agree with, and that is when you're growing up, your parents instill some things into you. One is that you – can you guys hear me okay? Because I'm getting a lot of static. You guys okay?
Yeah, you're okay. We got a little bit of static in the background, but we're hearing you fine.
Okay. There was three things that I was raised with. Number one, don't ask for a raise. You just work really hard. You work really hard. And you do the best you can, and you earn a raise. You will get a raise. You don't go around asking for one. Number two, you don't brag about yourself. You give the credit to the other person in the room. You never brag about yourself, even if you deserve all the credit. You try your best to give the credit to somebody else. And number three, and this is the most important one, you never ask people for money, especially strangers. Now, those three things... You have to, not only do you have to drop those three notions, but you have to master the opposite of those three things. You have to start bragging about yourself like crazy. You have to ask for a raise, a promotion, if you will, when you're running for office. And you have to ask a lot of strangers for money. And you have to ask them all the time for money. So for conservatives, for people that grew up in a conservative environment, it's extra difficult because it really is counterintuitive running for office.
Well, and that is so true. And you know what? That's what makes conservatives good is their character. But you start mixing in politics and it makes it difficult. So Matt, I want to pass it to you for your comments on all that.
I was working for a candidate this past week up in North Alabama. He actually won tonight. Very proud of that. But something I saw and something I tried to do when I was running for office, you got to be genuine with people. You can't be a politician. You got to actually care about people. And something he did this week, I thought it was great. He'd walk up to people and hug them, tell them he loves them, and he really knew these people, and he was really genuine. And that's what you got to do with people when you're running for office. You got to be genuine with them. People want a genuine person. They don't want a robot. They don't want this. They don't want this. They want a genuine person that really cares about them, you know? And I know he's not very well-liked with conservatives, but Bill Clinton did this back in the day. He was always very genuine and very caring with people, and it worked. He got people's votes, and it got him over the top, and I think that's something people have to master is to be genuine with people, and when you're talking to someone out there on the campaign trail, they've got to be the only person in the world at that time, and you got to give your full attention and be genuine with them.
Well, so very true, and I think that a lot of times almost shoots ourselves in the foot. It's hard to balance those two. Because, you know, politicians, the guys that were, especially if we're running against the establishment, they play dirty. We watch some Texas politics. I'm going to tell you, David Dewhurst, I don't care what if he's running for dog catcher, I wouldn't support him because they playing dirty, not playing by good character. But when you do turn around and play by good character and try and just be honest and try and just be yourself, you get beat down at the same time. And so it goes right back to why I started this little bit of conversation. It is not easy to run, folks. And I would ask each and every one of our listeners, keep our candidates in your prayers just for that. We've seen some presidential candidates like Herman Cain go through some horrific circumstances where the wife is attacked and where the kids are attacked and where their character is disparaged, where it's not even true. And it is just it's not an easy thing. It's a huge sacrifice. But we've got to have men and women. We've got to have men like Matt Jenkins and Rodney Lee and others that we support. George Yang out in California running for lieutenant governor. Dave Souza, I can't wait to find out whether he wins tonight, making these big sacrifices, folks. And they don't have to do that. Matt, you've got a career. You've had a successful life up until now. You've been in the military. You've done great things. You didn't have to drop some of that and go into off try and go through this process. The same with Rodney Lee. Rodney Lee, you've had a great career. You've had a fun career. You're one of my friends. I'm jealous for your career. You've had a blast over the last, especially 30 years. You didn't have to make that sacrifice. But you both looked and you saw that things aren't going in the right direction, that we need to fix it. Matt Jenkins saw that, you know, in order to make the agriculture thing work in Alabama, that you got to have the infrastructure, some basic common sense that's not being applied in Alabama. Rodney Lee decided, you know, boy, we need to show that we got some good guys up there who are willing to stand up for what is right. And that's why we supported both of you. We've had Matt on this show a number of times. Of course, Rodney Lee and I do. Conover U on Thursdays. We'll take this opportunity to invite everybody to listen in. We are going to have quite the discussion. Rodney and I spent the day, I think we were on the phone for about 2 hours, Rodney. We said we should have recorded it and just ran that as the show. We're going to have a great discussion on Thursday. I'm going to pass it to you for a little bit of discussion about what we're going to talk about on Thursday.
Well, on Thursday, I think for first hour, we're going to talk about, I know it's a long way away, but we're going to start talking about the 2016 presidential election, because it really is interesting. And the way it came up was this whole prisoner exchange thing with the guy in, coming back from Afghanistan and President Obama swapping out the 5 Gitmo detainees. And the deal it is, and how terrible in many respects. And Hillary Clinton's response was so ridiculous. And if you view her response through the filter of her running for president, and it's so political, it shows what a lifetime of politics can do to your brain. She is completely incapable of answering a question directly. No, nothing comes out of her mouth that is speculated some sort of game. And there's a decision of,
I think we lost him.
Yep, it looks like we lost Rodney Lee Conover. Well, hopefully he'll get back in the cell signal again. Yep. You know, it's going to be a long night for a lot of different states with their primaries tonight. Hang in there. Hang in with us. If you've got any election results in your state, please call in. We would love to hear from you. You know, this is one of those interesting nights. When you have a low voter turnout, sometimes it can swing the election results for some candidates that normally, you know, would not have a chance. And I see we're seeing that here in Congressional District 6. You know, so for all those hardworking people that have been out there volunteering. My hat's off to you.
Oops. Well, I don't know what's going on now. Scott, are you calling in?
I don't know.
Folks, I've never done before. I'm calling Rodney Lee back from the studio. I can do that.
The mailbox belonging to 81851707787 is full and cannot accept new messages at this time. Please try again
Rodney
later.
There.
Goodbye.
Are you in there, Rodney?
Well,
no,
he's
not in there.
Mailbox is full.
He might be trying to call. You know, I've never done that, and you know how sometimes in the regular studio, the radio station will call and just get a hold of somebody and ask them questions. I've often thought we ought to do a show one time where we do that. Maybe get a hold of a politician and just call them and have them live on the air when they don't know their call. And we've seen that done at times. But called Rodney must be going in and out of everything. So, you know, you guys have got me bamboozled, Jennifer, because I just don't know what I'm going to do. I really, really have a huge respect for Dale Peterson, and I've been supporting Jim Ziegler. Love him to death. I'm a person that has spent, since I was 12 years old, spent time singing in the rest homes and visiting with the elderly. And Jim Ziegler does some great work at helping that age bracket. So I think I might just have to post for both of them and give them both encouragement during this runoff, because I believe either one of them would be a good man for the job. Of course, I'm glad to see Dale Peterson getting back out into politics, as well as his wife, Kathy, two great powerhouses there in Alabama that do a lot of hard work for the conservative movement in Alabama. So, Jen, I'll pass it to you to add to that.
Well, you know, I will tell you, Adam Thompson was third down on the list, and there was, before this today came out, a lot of people were predicting that between Adam Thompson and Jim Ziegler, and I was really glad to see Dale pull it out today, that just goes to show you. I mean, a lot of the college Republicans and young Republicans were supporting Adam Thompson. And I know it really has, gotten a lot of people kind of bamboozled trying to figure out what happened. But I guess, the election results, the voters have voted, the votes have been counted, and I think we've got Lieutenant Governor's race. Kay Ivey is back in the seat again. She won that with a landslide. We just got some races that we're looking at. John Merrill for Secretary of State. Reese McKinney, it looks like they're going to be in a runoff. It was neck and neck most of the way, pretty much all the way. So I know there's a lot of people that are torn between both good candidates, and I think, we'll see how that shakes out. So I'm still, all the votes have not been turned in for District 6, but I know there's some other races out there. I know there's other states that have South Dakota, there's quite a few others, Arizona, there's some others that are, in the running tonight, Mississippi. So anybody that's got any information and wants to call in, please feel free. There's just a lot happening right now. I will tell you, the way that our military are being treated and what's happening with this immigration stuff is a travesty. And one night, I think we might try to get Paul Arnold to come back on and talk about the no amnesty that we're trying to fight so hard to keep. Secure our borders, one night, I think we'll try to see if we can get Paul Arnold to come on. He's got a big, huge event coming up where he's having people to come out and put together their rallies in every state on the highways and byways, so we'll see how that goes.
Jennifer, Paul Arnold will be calling in Thursday on Conover U as well.
Oh,
and,
wonderful.
Yeah, we want to get him on this show, too. Let's do that for possibly next week. He was going to call in Conover U last week, and we got scheduling. But I believe he's scheduled to call in and join Rodney and I and do some chatting about that this week on Conover U on Thursday night. That's 9 o'clock Texas time, 10 o'clock Alabama time, and, of course, 7 o'clock. What's that state over there where Rodney lives in? The last state. Help me out with that, guys. What was the name of that state? I don't remember. Oh, California. I vaguely remember that back in my back past history.
Well, and let's get prepared. I know that there are people that are already saying that they're getting ready to prepare their boots on the ground for 2016. Some people may say that it's early, but trust me, Democrats do not take an off season when it comes to elections. They are on it every day of the week, you know, and we have got to get ourselves prepared so we do not have people sitting home in 2016. I know everybody's got their favorite pick, from Dr. Ben Carson to Senator Ted Cruz, you know, so whoever is going to be the candidate to win against the potential Democratic candidate, Hillary Clinton, so they say, don't want to count chickens before the eggs hatch, but I will tell you that the Democrats are already up on their game and they're doing what they need to do to make 2016 alive and well for them, and we do not need to slack on that. So, you know, for those of us that are out there that are Constitution-loving, you know, liberty-loving, freedom-loving patriots in the United States of America, whether they be the naturalized citizens or born in the U.S. of A., we need to get busy, because time is a wasting. And if you look at what's happening right now with our current administration, you know, we do not have another 4 years to waste. So for those of you that are still out there riding on the fence trying to decide if you want to get involved this year, you know, time is now. You know, if you're still waiting around to try to figure out who it is you want to support, you know, you better get busy, because the Democrats are not taking time off. Dan?
Yeah, I agree with you, Jennifer. I mean, people, it's time to get involved. We don't have time anymore. We're out of time. If we want to save this nation, each and every one of you have to get involved. And I know it's against our normal personalities. We aren't fighters or anything like that, but it's time to get up, stand for what we truly, you know, stand for. Don't allow the Democrats to keep on saying we're the hateful people and yada, yada, yada. Stand up for who we are. We're all Frederick Douglass Republicans, and they don't even realize who Frederick Douglass is. You know, they take along Dr. Martin Luther King, and they claim he was a Democrat when he was actually a Republican. And, you know, we got to set people straight. And one other thing I wanted to do is I told everybody to go to Pundit Press, but I forgot to give you the URL. So it's www.punditpress.com. And you can get all the great radio shows and publications right from there. And that we couldn't have done yesterday's job without them. We're very proud to be part of them. And but when it comes down to politics, the only way we can save this nation is to get the right people in office. And without the right people in office, we're doomed. We've seen what happens when a person is elected who is dangerous. And he has almost destroyed this country. And we need to replace it. You know, Hillary is a murderer. Write down, and she, you know, the last thing we need is another Obama in office. We need people who are truly believe in the Constitution and the United States. The people are going to stand up and they believe their oath when they swear on the Holy Bible that says that I promise to uphold and defend the Constitution. And I'm sending this out to each and every one of you soldiers, too, because something's going to happen soon when you're going to have to make a decision and make the right decision. Be with us, because you're fighting for us, not the government. Remember that. And for everybody else, remember, it is up to us to run the government, not the government to run to us. Run us. And the only way we can do that is each and every one of your votes do count. We've saw this in previous elections where people have been decided, you know, for Florida, for instance, the vote for president was decided by 34 votes. If that doesn't tell you that your vote counts, I don't know what does. You know, each and every one of you got to get out there and get behind your favorite candidate. Talk to your friends about them. Tell them why you like this person and promote them. I know it's not in our character to do that, but this is what we need to do. And stop believing the baloney that you can't talk about politics and religion. Because you know something, that's a bunch of hogwash. This is how, as a nation, sharing that. The only thing you have to do is have respect for another person's opinion. And what you do is you can kindly debate it without getting into a fight. You know, disagreeing is fine. But, you know, state your case. State why you stand up for your side. And listen to the other person. You know something? I became a very, very good sailor. Because what I did is I walked around, I talked to everybody, and I listened to each and every person. And I learned how to decipher the people who really knew what they were talking about from the people who were just blowing wind. And I learned a lot, and I became one of the best. I mean, I've sailed against the best sailors in the world, and I got that way not because I thought I knew everything or because I talked to one person, because I listened to a lot of people, and I still do that to this very day. I listen to everybody and make an informed decision after I get the information from other people. And this is the way we need to all really be. And, you know, sometimes I've voted for Democrats. If the person, you know, makes more sense to me, then I'll vote that way. Don't vote for strictly just because it has a D or an R or an I or whatever, you know. Vote for the right person. If somebody, you know, whoever has the best solution is a person to vote for. And, you know, I'm standing here right now is that sadly the Democratic Party has gone so far to the left that they've gone into the realm of socialism and communism. And we got to swing the pendulum back over to the other side. And then once we get the pendulum balanced out, then we can make the best decisions either side. Because both sides have some good points. But the problem is right now it's all one side. And what they are doing now is they are trying to turn us into a socialist state. And I'll tell you this, people, and if you followed our radio show, the Saturday Symposium, we've had on for the last several weeks people from Cuba, China, Romania, three different communist states. All three of them lived there. They grew up there. And they can tell you firsthand what it's like to live without any rights. And this is what you'll give up if you keep on going to the left. You will have no rights. You will be told what you're going to do for a living. You're going to be told, you know, what to do. Everything, every part of your being is going to be somebody covering and telling you what to do. We have the freedoms here to do whatever we wish. If we want to be a sailor or we want to be president, everybody has that option. We have the freedom of choice. We have the freedom to pray to whatever religion we choose. You know, we have the freedom of press, the freedom to own arms. These are freedoms we need to protect. And we can't do it if we allow this nation to continue on this course, because we're going to lose it all. And, you know, don't listen to what you're being told by, you know, these people, you know, because they're going to lead you in the wrong direction. Get out there, learn for yourself. With that, I'll pass it over to Scott.
Well, and it's important. And I'm going to mention Frederick Douglass Republicans again, because the three of us are Frederick Douglass Republicans. And we discuss that occasionally on this show. In fact, I don't think we've gone too many shows without mentioning that and talking about Frederick Douglass. And I would encourage everybody to go to frederickdouglassrepublicans.com and check out what Kay Carl's doing. You know, Jennifer, I wrote those two articles, Why Am I Frederick Douglass Republican? And The Abolitionists Will Rise Again on my WordPress at Scotty's Rants. And those two articles have continued to be spread to this day. One of them is spread by Michael B. Quite often, and the other one automatically tweets from my Twitter account every day. Every day it goes out. And you know, Jennifer, those two have gotten to, up to over 700 views on each one of those. And I'd encourage you to go to Scotty's Rants at WordPress and read Why I Am a Frederick Douglass Republican. Because it's important. Because I'll tell you, folks, it's what we talked about earlier, and it's what I'm going to talk about right now, and that's getting out and explaining to people why we are, what we are, and what we believe. I am a Frederick Douglass Republican because I believe in basic principles, and I believe that big government, especially when it gets big, it just always naturally heads towards the direction of socialism, communism. It heads towards the direction of tyranny. Big government, the lack of local control, always puts us into bondage. And we're slowly but surely moving into bondage, folks. We are moving into bondage by the NSA. The BLM is wanting to take our land. The BPA is wanting to take our water. The government that we've got right now in Washington, D.C., basically wants to tell us how to live our lives, how we are to raise our children, how we are to eat, how we are to drink. They want to tell our businesses how to run business. And the more we get there, the more we head towards slavery. And Frederick Douglass, as a young child, very young, wanted to learn how to read. And his slave master caught his wife teaching Frederick Douglass how to read. And he said, "Oh, honey, don't do that. You'll you ruin him as a slave if you teach him to read. And what Frederick Douglass did was amazing at that point. A lot of people would roll over and just give up, roll over and decide, oh, no. No, Frederick Douglass took the largest lemon in the whole wide world and turned it into the largest lemonade stand you've ever seen. And what he said was, he scratched his head. I can just about see him scratching his head and says, so you mean to tell me I can get out of this mess I'm in if I learn how to read? And he decided at that point that he was going to learn everything he could. And by hook or by crook, he continued through the rest of his years learning how to read and to write. And he got to the point where he was a one percenter, folks. He was in the top 1% of wealth in the United States of America at the time. He wrote numerous articles and books. He had the ears of presidents. He became a very successful businessman, a very successful entrepreneur, and he gained his freedom because he learned. And that's our problem that's in this country right now, folks, is we're dumbing ourselves down. The left would really like to dumb down our students using Common Core. But, you know, it doesn't really matter if we just let ourselves dumb ourselves down. And back to all those people looking out here at all these houses behind me, there's a lot of people in those houses that don't know what's going on, don't know why we're doing what we're doing. They couldn't tell you what extortion 17 means. They couldn't tell you what Benghazi means. They couldn't tell you what Fast and Furious. They couldn't even begin to understand the dangers of Common Core or Obamacare or the huge danger that the president just put us in by negotiating with terrorists, negotiating hostages, giving in, paying a ransom. Folks, once you pay a ransom, they're going to come back. I've lived this, folks. I've lived this. When I went down and went to work in Trinidad, Trinidad was in a interesting situation. If you followed Rudy Giuliani's career while he was mayor of New York, one of the reasons why he became America's mayor was not because of 9/11 and the efforts that he did at 9/11, but for the cleaning up that he did of New York. He basically picked up the criminal element, many of them illegal, and sent them back to their countries of origin. Many went back to Jamaica. They went to different islands, a lot of them in the Caribbean. One of those places they went was Trinidad. And the first night that I arrived in Trinidad, the first time I'd really been out into a foreign country, I'd been to Mexico and I'd been to Canada, but I'm kind of counter, you know, we're right next to the border. We feel kind of safe. This is the first time I'd ever been far away, down almost to South America, 8 miles off the coast of South America. And I landed at that airport, and the people picked me up, and I went and stayed in the home that I was going to stay in while I was down there. And the next morning, I got into the office, and the girls were all crying. The secretary that manned the front desk had been kidnapped the night before. She had been kidnapped, and she showed up about 3 days later. She had been raped multiple times, beaten, and left by the side of the road. And I immediately said, well, why did this happen? Well, what happened was as Rudy Giuliani sent that criminal element back down to Trinidad, those people had been used to selling drugs in New York City. That was how they made a living. But there wasn't quite the market for drugs in Trinidad, so they learned that if they kidnapped, they could make more money than selling drugs. And the problem is, folks, is the people of Trinidad started paying, and they made it profitable. And as they started paying, the kidnappings grew. And over a period of just about 6 months, it went from an occasional kidnapping to a kidnapping or two every single day. And while I was there, there were a number of times when the cell phones would all go off announcing that there had been a kidnapping, keep an eye out for such and such, such and such, and then they just turned around and they paid. I was down there when Rudy Giuliani came down to Trinidad to help him try and overcome this problem. He came down and tried to help their government understand you can't pay, because if you pay, no matter what, it gets rough. And I had one of the fathers ask me, well, but Scott, what if it was your kid? And that was when Savannah was just a baby. She had just been born. I hadn't even met her yet. I said, well, you know, I said, you know, it would be very, very hard. But I'll tell you, I would rather have my own child not be paid a ransom than to know that every one of my grandkids were going to be kidnapped as well. They didn't couldn't seem to understand that when you pay a ransom, you just feed it. You feed that system. And the president of our United States has just fed the system for the first time in American history. He negotiated and he let out some high-value targets. These guys are high-value targets for basically a traitor. And it's going to happen again, folks. I'm going to tell you, they want every one of those guys in Guantanamo out of there, and you can mark my words that we will soon have another kidnapping and another extortion attempt to get more of those people out there. Because when you pay a ransom, it feeds the system, and it makes it worse and worse and worse. Is it hard when you're dealing with somebody that you know and love? Oh, my goodness, I cannot even imagine. I cannot even imagine. But the consequences of what this president has done has put every one of us in danger, folks. He has sent out the signal that America now pays. And each one of us are in danger a little bit more than we were before. Each one of our troops are more in danger than they were before. Folks, this is serious. You know, we've talked to two great candidates, Matt Jenkins and Rodney Conover. We hope both of them run again. We're talking about some great candidates tonight that we're waiting on information to find out, and I'm about ready to lose my voice, Dan, so I don't know that we're going to make it that far. But, you know, it's important, folks. You got to get out and you got to spread the word. You got to talk to your neighbors. Frederick Douglass Republicans and that methodology that Kay Carl has come up, it forces you to go out and talk to your neighbors. Talk to the guy sitting there cutting your hair. Talk to the lady sitting there cutting your hair. He's got an 80% rate, folks. When he sits down with 100 Democrats, one-on-one, 80% of them understand why they need to be a Frederick Douglass Republican. 80% of them understand why basic principles means that the party that they've been following blindly for decades is not the party for them. But it's going to take each one of us. It is going to take each one of us getting out of our comfort zone and talking to other people and getting with people that don't follow information. You, Jennifer, and I, and Dan, we do this every day. We're involved in politics every day. We know what's going on in Washington, D.C. We know what the left is doing in our schools. We know what health care is doing to our nation. We know what the EPA and the BLM and the NSA and the IRS and a lot of other number organizations and giant government overreach. We know what's going on. But I'm going to tell you, folks, there's millions and millions and tens of millions of Americans that don't know. And so with that, Jennifer, I'll pass it to you for closing remarks. If Matt Jenkins, if he's still with us, have him give us some closing remarks. And Dan, then I'll let you take it, and then we'll close up the show.
You know, for anybody that, you know, I think, you know, we've got to get out there and vote. I'm looking at the current election results right now for Alabama. I'm pulling up our AL.com, and it looks like that we have Robert Bentley, who won by 89%, 89%, of course. We also have, looks like the Democratic candidate going to be running against him for governor is Griffith Parker, won by 63% against Kevin Bass. So we've got our work cut out for us. We've got to can't lay down. Got to get busy. Kay Ivey won 62% against Stan Cook, 83%. Looks like we have runoff for Secretary of State between John Merrill and Reese McKinney, and that was John had 40% to Reese McKinney's 38%. The state auditor's race, 47%, Jim Ziegler, 24%, Dale Peterson, and the others don't matter. There were several others, school board races, District 2, Betty Peters, that was one of the candidates that the Alabama Republican Assembly had endorsed. Really, really glad to see that happen. I'm sorry about Patricia McGriff, but Cynthia McCarty was the one that defeated her. Looks like the votes are still out for Kathy Peterson against Jeremy Oden for Public Service Commissioner Place 1. as it stands right now, Jeremy Evans at 52% with Kathy Peterson at 48%. The runoff on Public Service Commissioner between Chip Baker and incumbent Terry Dunn. Looks like Chip Baker was in the lead by a few percentages, 39% to 33%. There's other races that were pretty big. Looks like the congressional race that we have. I'm scrolling down on my list to look for those races as well. But it looks like that we are. You know, any other races that we have going in across the states, I will tell you that Paul DeMarco got 33% to Gary Palmer's 20%. And so we've got our work cut out for us. It's time for everybody that supported the other candidates in District 6 to come together. So, you know, whatever your choice is, I definitely will come out, you know, and do what I can to help in that race. We had an interesting race in, you know, District 7. We had two Democrats running. The Republican candidate that we had running ended up not being able to stay with it. So one of these days we'll get a good Frederick Douglass Republican in that race, and maybe we can make a big difference there. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens in Mississippi. So with that, I'll pass it back to Scott, and he can make all the announcements about the current shows coming up for us for this week.
Yeah, Dan, did you have any last remarks?
Yeah, just a few. You know, everybody, as I said, it's... you know, we didn't provide you with information on a lot of the races, and what we want, you know, what we'd like to encourage people from every state, call into us. Tell us, you know, who's running and who's doing, you know, who are the people to stand up behind. You know, we can make a difference here, and we're here to help you. And not just, you know, help ourselves. You know, California, where we tend to do the South because all three of us are down South. But we need some, you know, you people up North, too, is to call in and let us know what's going on with your elections. Who are the right candidates to support? And, you know, together we all can do this, and we'll, you know, do everything we can. If we, you know, you have a good candidate, you know, that we believe in as well, we'll do everything in our power to help him get him or her get elected. So, you know, get involved. You know, talk to us. Help us out. You know, we only can reach out to so many people, you know, and we only can cover so many, so we need your help, too. So, you know, give us a call, let us know, and, you know, we'll do everything we can to help that candidate get in. So with that, you know, just keep on working with us. Go to the Pundit Press. There's a bunch of other radio shows also that do the same thing that we do. We're all out there to help, you know, you in your decision process. So you got support, and what we need now is you to. We just need all of you to get in there and take action, you know, and we'll continue to do our job to help you, and now we need you to help the country. Get involved. Save this nation. Remember, God, Constitution, country, and These are the three most important things. And, you know, with that, I'm going to pass it over to Scott to, you know, tell us what's going on with our other shows. But, again, if you want to know anything, you know, you want to get more information, contact PunditPress.com and get involved in your local races. And then, you know something, we can turn this country around and bring it back on course, but we need your help. Thank you very much. And, Scott, back over to you.
Well, thank you, Dan, and thank you, Jennifer. It was a great show. We enjoyed having Rodney Lee. He faded out, and I couldn't even get a hold of him on cell phone, so he must have faded out. It might have been in his car driving, and Rodney lives up in Hesperia, and there's you know, when you start leaving that area up there, you end up in desert really quickly and can end up out of cell service. So I want to thank Matt Jenkins for calling in tonight. Great call-ins. And a great show. We still haven't found out. I'm still not finding anything about Dave Souza, so I guess we will have to announce that on Thursday night. We will make that great announcement, and, of course, we will be talking about it. We might have Dave call in next Tuesday to give him a big congratulations on that race, an important one to me. You know me, Dan. I've got candidates that I support. I got candidates that I support because I think they're great candidates. And then I got other candidates that I support. It's personal. And Dave Souza is one that it is personal. I like Dave. Dave's a friend. I have thoroughly enjoyed over the last almost a year now getting to know Dave Souza. And Dave and I chat back and forth on the internet occasionally. We swap pictures and keep track of what's going on. He's a great man. So we really, folks, keeping him in our prayers tonight. I have a really good feeling about this. I really do. I think he can pull this one out. That'll be exciting. We got some great shows, like Dan said. We've got ladies' Bible class on Friday. Don't want to forget that, 10:30. I'll probably be doing that from the Sid Miller booth over at the GOP convention in Fort Worth, where I'll be Friday and Saturday. That actually kind of started today. They're doing things over there today, tomorrow, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But the main action is on Thursday and Friday. I'll be over there Friday. And looking forward to that. Looking forward to helping Sid Miller out. I'm going to be helping Dan Patrick out quite a bit and getting to shake some hands with some people that I've gotten to know that have not met in Texas. I keep a list of my Texas Facebook friends, and that's about ready to reach 400. And it was about 100 when I first moved here. So I've made a lot of new friends, looking forward to meeting many of them, many hardworking grassroots, many campaign people. And while I am there, of course, Saturday morning, most likely from the Sid Miller table, I will be calling in with you, Dan. It'll be kind of noisy, probably, so I'll probably have a hard time hearing too much. But we're going to have George Ng, who's running, and hopefully we watch him win tonight for the primary for lieutenant governor. He's going to call in and be one of those been there, done that. He's been there and done that. Raised in China, what can you say? We look forward to that. Thursday night, Conover U, me and Rodney Lee, we're going to have Paul Arnold, like we said, calling in for part of that. Looks like possibly Joe the Plumber will be calling in. Looking forward to having that conversation as well. Doing some great things. Rodney's really excited about this show, and we're really starting to really do some fun things with it. And I'll start having some good call-ins. But it's a lot of fun. And then, of course, next week, we look forward to American Sovereignty with Dan Wilson Jennifer Montrose, and Scott Osborne. It was a great show, Dan. We had a great time. I'm going to play us some good play-out music. We want to thank everybody. If you're listening, probably in archive at this point. We want to thank you for listening this long. It was a great show, a little bit different than what we normally do. It was more like election coverage. That was kind of fun. We don't get to do that very often. So with that, we are going to put us on out with some music. And I'm trying to think of what we want to play tonight, Dan. I think we're going to put out some Sweet Baby James. I kind of like that.
There is a young cowboy who lives on the range. His horse and his cattle are his only companion. He works in the saddle and he sleeps in the canyon, waiting for summer, his pastures to change. And as the moon rises, he sits by his fire, thinking about women and glasses of beer, and closing his eyes as the dogies retire, he sings out a song which is soft but it's clear, as if maybe someone could hear. Good night, you moonlight ladies, rock-a-bye, sweet baby Jane. Deep greens and blues are the colors I choose. Won't you let me go down in my dreams and rock-a-bye, sweet baby Jane. Now the 1st of December was covered with snow, so was the turnpike from Stockbridge to Boston. Lord, the Berkshire seemed dreamlike on account of that frosting, with 10 miles behind me and 10,000 more to go. There's a song that they sing when they take to the highway, a song that they sing when they take to the sea, a song that they sing of their home in the sky. Maybe you can believe it if it helps you to sleep, but singing works just fine for me. So good night, you moonlight ladies, rock-a-bye, sweet baby Jane. Beet greens and blues are the colors I choose. Won't you let me go down in my dreams and rock-a-bye, sweet.